Well, happy Easter. You can be seated. Thank you, Todd and worship team. That was phenomenal, and we appreciate it. It is so good to have you here. If I didn't get a chance to meet you, my name is Tim, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here at our church, and it's a real joy to have you. And so if it's your first time, we hope that you feel welcome. We hope you feel close and kind of crowded in today. No, we're just glad you're here. Hope you found a parking place outside and got kind of greeted as you came through the door. If you're one of our regular attenders, thank you for being here. I can't think of anybody I'd rather celebrate Easter with than our church family that I love so much. And if you're somebody who brought guests today, thank you for that. So many of you have introduced me to your family and friends, and I'm so excited to have them and have you here with us today. It's going to be a great day. God's going to do great things here today. We're going to be walking through a story found about the Easter story found in the book of John. So if you want to start finding your way to John chapter 20 on your phone or in your Bible, we're going to get there in just a minute. But let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on today. Heavenly Father, it's so exciting to be here. And thank you for what Todd just led us through. God, that really resonated with my heart because I know today there are people who in one way or another struggle with going on because they've never met you. They've never met the resurrected Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name that today they would, that today the lights would come on, that they would see you and know you. And I know, God, there's nothing I can do to make that happen, but I trust in you and your word to do it. And for those who are here, God, there may be some folks here who have met you, but they've drifted a long ways from you. And just even hearing that today is a reminder of kind of coming back home. It's a reminder of where truth is found. And I pray that you'd make that resonate with them. And for those who are here who know you and love you, may today just be a time when we're uplifted, our souls are rejoicing because of the resurrection. God, we get distracted so easy, and today I pray that you take us back to the truth of why today matters so much. God, I want to pray for churches around our city. I want to pray for our West Campus, that your hand would be on it and bless it today. I want to pray for the Mission Church that is on the other side of town, just getting started. God, I want to pray for the Field Church. So excited about what you're doing in New Orleans with them. And God, for the pastors of the churches around the world that we've gotten to build, some in our time zone, some not. We just pray for them. Pray your anointing over them as well. Thanks for our guests today. Bless your word. Make it come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Easter, and as Easter Sunday, of course, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if the resurrection of Jesus and Easter represents anything, if it means anything at all, it represents hope. And that's what I want us to talk about today. I want to talk about how today is a day that brings hope to a world who needs hope so much. So what is hope? Well, simply put, hope is the feeling of expectation. It's a belief deep inside us that things are going to be all right, that they're going to get better. And a lot of us have come in today feeling like, maybe I don't know if that's true. We need hope. And hope is found in the resurrection. In 1997, you may have remembered or heard of a story about a British yachtsman. His name was Tony Billamore. And what he did is he was sailing on this solo mission in the Southern Sea by himself in this yacht, and all of a sudden a storm come up. My greatest fear about sailing, right? He's there and a storm comes, and it came up so vicious that he reported that the waves, some of them, were 5 stories tall. And one of those waves caught his yacht and flipped it up, and when it did, it kind of came back down on some structure in the water, and all of a sudden things went bad. He was trapped inside the tiny cockpit of this yacht, and he knew that with the storm just raging and his boat getting hit, that he was going to die. 12 different times he tried to get out. 12 times he would swim out and try to find his lifeboat and set his lifeboat free, but he couldn't do it. And so he ends up spending 4 days inside this tiny cockpit, only having a few chocolate bars and a small device that could turn salt water to fresh water. It's 32 or 34 degrees water temperature. He's freezing. He feels like no one's going to find him. And all of a sudden, he said he heard a rescue plane. I don't know how many of you have seen these movies, but man, when they hear that plane, I can only imagine. And it dropped this device that began to ping beside his boat to attract a rescue boat to come to him. And sure enough, the next day, a rescue boat showed up. And he mustered all the strength that he had left in him, and he swam out of that kind of tomb that he was in. And when he saw the boat, here's what he said. He said, "When I looked and I saw the Adelaide," that was the name of the ship that came to get him, he said, "I could only have the tremendous ecstasy that while I was looking at life, I was actually looking at a picture of what life was about. It was heaven, he said, absolute heaven. I really, really never thought that I would get out, that I would reach that far. And when I started to look back over my life, he said, I was starting to think, I've had a good life, but it's coming to an end. He said, there are no words to describe what it feels like. It felt like a miracle. And so what happened is Tony Bullimore, what he did is he experienced this hope of being rescued. And it drove, that hope drove him to survive. And today, many of us are searching for hope. Fact is, if we could somehow look into the eyes of everyone here, kind of roll back our brains and look in, there's a lot of us today who are struggling with hope. Hope for our marriage, hope financially, maybe a medical report we got that wasn't the greatest. Maybe we just feel lonely and think we'll never meet somebody and we've kind of given up hope. Some of you have lost hope in God, even hope in the church. And today, as you come, I want you to understand that the resurrection brings us hope. There's a great verse found in Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and here's what it says. I put it on the screens for you. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again, look, to a living hope. And where does that hope come from? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what we celebrate today, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, right? We're excited about this, that Jesus didn't stay dead. A few days ago, several of you joined us, almost 400 of you, joined us here for Good Friday. And it was powerful. But the lights were dark. They were red. We wrote all those notes and we put them on here. And when we walked out of here, yeah, there was a little bit of celebration, but there was a lot of heavy heart. Thinking about Jesus and the death on the cross. But today's a different day, right? Because Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus came to life. And Jesus' resurrection brings us hope. So if you're here today and you feel hopeless, maybe a little bit or a lot, I want you to lean in today and I want you to think as we walk through the story of the resurrection, how it brought hope to the disciples and how it could bring hope to you. John chapter 20, let's begin in verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and she came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and I don't know where they've laid him. So Peter and John, the other disciple, went forth to the tomb and the two were running together. And the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down, he looked inside and he saw the linen wrapped laying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, and following him, he entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings laying there. And he saw the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not laying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, also entered. And when he saw, he believed. Why does the resurrection of Jesus bring us hope? There's several reasons I hope you'll jot down and think about today. The first is this. The resurrection brings us hope because the resurrection overwhelmingly confirms that Jesus is who he said he was. The resurrection brings us hope because it confirms that Jesus is who he said he was. Listen, Jesus made a very clear, bodacious claim. He said, I am God's son. Wow. He told folks that he was from the Father. Even in another occurrence said that he and the Father were one. They were the same thing. This is what ultimately caused his crucifixion, right? Making these claims. And there were a lot of people who made claims like this, but Jesus proved it. He proved that he was God's son when he came back to life and when he was seen by the disciples and then by Mary and that we read about today and a whole host of other people. So we read in our story how Mary Magdalene, she comes early on a Sunday morning, the resurrection Sunday, to the tomb, and it's still dark, and she's making her way, and I don't know what pictures you've seen. I kind of grew up with the flannel graph pictures. Anybody else grew up with flannel graph? Come on now, admit it. Kind of grew up these pictures of the, you know, the tomb, but when I got to go to Israel, I got to see what it really looked like. And, you know, it's just a rock, and it's low. You got to kind of crawl through. And when you go in, you can kind of see the stone places where the bodies were laid. And the rock, you know, we always saw this big boulder, but it was more like a wheel. And that wheel was rolled away. And she goes in there, and she comes, and she says, they've taken Jesus. Now, you understand, we know on this side that Jesus came back to life, right? We're like, Mary, what's wrong with you, right? But that wasn't how she felt. There was quite a stir. There were people threatening to do all sorts of things. And she thought, somebody has come and taken Jesus' body, and she couldn't stand it. And so she runs and she reports this to Peter and John, and they come running. I love this story. They're running, and all of a sudden, John outruns Peter. Can you picture this? He's running faster, and he gets there, and he's afraid to go in, and Peter's like, get out of the way, right? And he goes in, and he sees this. And when they look inside, they see these burial garments, but Jesus isn't there. And verse 8 is powerful. It says, when they saw the empty tomb, they believed what Jesus had said. Jesus said, I was going to come back to life. And now, with their own eyes, they're witnessing it. And this confirms that Jesus was God's son. In fact, in Acts, we read, Luke writes, he says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. For he had, by the Holy Spirit, had given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at this. To the apostles, he presented himself alive after his crucifixion, after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom. This is powerful. Jesus came back to life and he showed himself to people who would be able to know him and be able to say that is Jesus or it isn't, and people who would ultimately give their lives for the cause. The validity of Jesus' claims about himself rests on the resurrection. If there was no resurrection, there would be no validity to the claims that Jesus was God's son. But the resurrection, rising from the dead, proved to everybody that Jesus was who he said he is. Many skeptics, of course, say that to believe in a risen Christ is nothing more than a leap of faith or a myth, that there's no truth in it. But we know that there is. And today I don't want to teach this, but I want to take just a moment and remind you why we know, why we believe in the resurrection. You may even have lunch or be around some folks today that might question this. And so why do we believe in the resurrection? There's a whole talk in this, but let me give it to you quick. We believe, first of all, because Christ predicted his resurrection. Jesus said, the Bible records that Jesus said he would rise again. Matthew 16:21 is one of those places. He said from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and be raised on the third day. Jesus predicted that after 3 days, he would come back to life, and that's exactly what he did. That proves Jesus is the Son of God. How else do we have evidence for the resurrection? Well, Jesus made many numerous appearances to his followers. Like I said earlier, these were not just remote people who didn't know Jesus. They were people that could confirm. So if I somehow died and rose again, I couldn't do it. But if I did, you know, and I go up to, you know, Paul's like, well, I know him. Yeah, that's him, right? You know, I go to Joey. Joey's like, well, yeah, that looks like him. You know, if you go to people who know you and you do this, this confirms it. And so Jesus comforted these mourners outside of the tomb on Sunday morning that we just read about. He appeared to the folks on the road to Emmaus, and remember, they were walking and they didn't recognize him, and he starts talking to them about the crucifixion, and they don't know who it is. And finally, their eyes are opened and they said, our hearts burned within us because he's God's son. A little bit later, Jesus appears and scripture records that he appears to over 500 people all at one time. Now, some people could argue that if there were one or two, maybe they would be involved in a deception. But 500 people all in one place saw the risen Jesus, and this confirms it. The third reason that we know is because the unrelenting faith of the disciples. We've talked about this a lot, but think about this. The disciples who knew Jesus, they were cowering in fear. They were afraid of the religious leaders. We're going to read about this in our story today. They had followed from a distance or not followed at all. They were in despair, and when they saw the resurrected Christ, they became powerful preachers for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And all of them, or nearly all of them, would give their lives in horrible ways. Horrible ways. And don't tell me that if it wasn't true, if they hadn't seen this, that not one or two of them would have cracked and said, I don't want to go through this. But they willingly gave their lives because they knew that they had seen Jesus come back from the dead. We certainly have the proof of the church and how the church has grown since the resurrection. This little gathering of a few people that followed Jesus, the 12 and a few before that, has grown to millions and millions of people, even us today who are seated here, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that confirms the resurrection. And then finally, and probably the most conclusive proof, is the testimony of millions and millions of transformed lives. If we had time today and could take our microphone and walk around this crowd, you'd hear stories in this room of people that used to be addicts and their lives have changed. You'd hear stories about people whose marriages were one way and God restored them. You'd hear people talk about being lonely and people who have found hope. And many of you could give testimony over and over to the power of the resurrected Christ in your life. His transforming power has changed everything. And it's because of that resurrection that we know Jesus is alive. And the resurrection is what sets Christianity apart. No other religious leader has ever broken the power of death and come back to life but Jesus. The resurrection proves that Jesus was divine, that he was God's son. It proves that Jesus alone has the power to forgive sin. It proves that Jesus Christ had power over death, that death could not hold him, as we just sang about. And it proved that Jesus, through the resurrection, defeated his enemy Satan, conquering over him forever. And church, listen, this gives me hope. Hopefully it does to you as well. We can believe that Jesus is God because of the resurrection. And so the first hope that I find today is that this resurrection confirms that Jesus is God, is who he said he was. But there's more. The resurrection not only gives us hope by confirming Jesus, but the resurrection turns despair into bright promise. You see it right in our story. Watch what happens in verse 10. You know, the disciples had run to the tomb and they'd seen that Jesus was gone. It says in verse 10, so the disciples went away again into their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she finally stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord and I don't know where they have laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. Can you imagine? And she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping and whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you've laid him and I will take him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which is translated teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but I go to my brethren, but go to my brethren and say to them, I will ascend to my Father, and you to your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came, announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she said the things he had said to her. Can you picture this? Mary's in despair. Her world has crushed. She's standing outside of the tomb. She watched Jesus go through the horrible death, the cross, the beating, the nails. She helped as he was buried. And now she's standing outside the tomb. And when she finally gets the courage to go in, what does she see? She sees two angels. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how scary this must have been? And then Jesus appears to her and asks her, "Why is she crying?" And suddenly, when she realized it was the Lord, she hugged him. She wouldn't let go. And she went and told the disciples what she'd seen. Listen, Mary was at a point of all-time low. Her despair had gotten to be the maximum in her life. And what happens? When she sees Jesus and sees the resurrected Lord, her despair is turned into promise. I personally witnessed this in the lives of many people. I've seen people who were at their end. You have too. Many of you who at their end and just didn't know if they could go on. People that were considering taking their life or deadlocked in an addiction or living in depression, and they meet Jesus, and meeting the resurrected Christ changed everything. You see, when you and I understand and realize that Jesus conquered the grave and Jesus couldn't be held by its power anymore, that's freeing for us. That's empowering to us. And I've watched lives make a 180-degree turn when they finally got the hope that they were searching for, the hope that comes from the resurrection. Because listen, the resurrection turns our despair into bright promise. But there's more. We read in verse 19 as the story goes, "So when it was evening on that day, the very first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, hiding. And Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" The resurrection not only gives us this joy and peace that we find, but the resurrection changes our fear to real peace. Now, the disciples were hiding. They were known as a part of this kind of Messiah conspiracy, and the Jews were out to get them. They were running for their lives. The Jewish leaders were probably looking everywhere for them. I'm sure when they were in this room, they were hiding away, according to our text. When they heard a noise, everyone probably got quiet. They probably had someone watching the door 24/7. It's Sunday night. It's the night of the resurrection. It's in the evening, and Jerusalem's in an uproar. Jesus has only been dead for a couple of days. Now he's back to life. The rumors are getting out. They didn't know what they were going to do. They hadn't seen Jesus yet. They didn't know how they were going to go on. They didn't know what their lives were going to look like. Would the leaders kill them? Would they go back to their old lives? Would they even have a life after this at all? And suddenly Jesus appears, according to our story. He appears right there in the room, in their midst. The room is locked, and Jesus just appears. And surely that must have scared them. It must have frightened them and shocked them. And Jesus simply just says something to them that resonates with them. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Now, peace be with you is a real common greeting. It's not abnormal for folks to say that, but that is better translated, peace to you. In fact, as you read the same story in Luke 24, 36, and that's the words we read. So Jesus is there, and all of a sudden, he says to them what they need to hear. They're gripped by their fear, like many of us are gripped by our fear. And Jesus speaks to them and says, "Peace to you." When they heard that, they surely must have remembered. They must have remembered Jesus' words that he spoke only a few nights before. They were gathered together in John 14, and Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." They were gripped by fear, and Jesus brought them peace. Listen, sometimes life just seems scary, doesn't it? Can we admit that? That sometimes we're just afraid, especially with things we can't control. We get a report from a doctor. We hear something out of our spouse that we don't know where that came from. Our kids, finances. We live our life in fear. We're afraid of the outcomes. We're afraid of relationships, not knowing what's going to happen. But listen, knowing that Jesus overcame death and lives today to fight for us, that brings us peace. And it certainly did to the disciples. I mean, they were afraid, and all of a sudden, Jesus brought them peace. It changed everything. You see, the resurrection brings us peace. But in verse 20, we see that the resurrection also brings us joy. It brings joy from sadness. Verse 20, "And when he had said this," peace to you, "when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples then," look, "rejoiced when they saw the Lord." Now, they must have thought everything was over, right? Everything they'd worked for, everything they'd given their lives for, everything they'd risked everything for, right? Now, remember, they were still working through this idea of Jesus not being the conquering king, because, remember, they thought that Jesus was going to come and defeat Rome and sit on the throne of David right then and there, and he will do that in the future, but not at that time. And they had such a hard time getting their heads around what Jesus had said, even though he said it over and over. So they must have been incredibly sad. When Jesus died, they must have thought, "What happened? This is over." Everything they'd hoped for seemed hopeless. Not to mention the fact that their friend, the Lord, had been killed in a horrible way. Now, we know this is true because many of them ran, and a lot of them didn't even stand with Jesus in his toughest hour. Verse 19, Jesus appears and confirms that he was alive. And in verse 20, you see the joy that they really experience. This text goes into the detail of saying that Jesus showed him his hands and his side where he was wounded, so they knew for sure that it was the Lord, and they saw him alive. This really happened. And the text says in verse 20, the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Listen, when you and I begin to understand the magnitude, the hugeness of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive, and that God defeated the grave, you and I can experience joy even in our sadness. Even when we're struggling with figuring out how to put one foot in front of the other and go through life, we can experience joy in the midst of that. But in verse 21, we read more. Look what it says. "So Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you.' And with this, when he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" We see in the fourth place that the resurrection gives us purpose. and a reason to live. The resurrected Christ had not only brought them peace and joy, but the resurrected Christ gave them purpose. He gave them power to live. Jesus said these words, "As the Father sent me, I've completed my mission. As the Father sent me, now your mission's beginning. So I send you." And the disciples got it. It brought peace to them. It brought purpose and a reason to live. Just a little later, Jesus in Acts 1 would say to them, he would say, "It is not for you to know the times or the epochs when the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the world." And of course, just a little earlier in the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And go they did. The disciples went to all the world. And here we sit today with the message that Jesus has come to save us, to change us, to give us hope, all because of the resurrection. The resurrection is truly the most significant event in history. It's Easter that gives us hope, that brings us hope when life seems hopeless for us. During the Second World War, some of you who are history buffs know and have followed what occurred, and the U.S. Army was forced rather quickly to retreat from the Philippine Islands. And some of the soldiers that were left behind became prisoners of war by the Japanese, and it wasn't a pretty sight. They called themselves ghosts because they believed that they were forgotten. They were made to march this infamous death march that we hear about in history. Many of them were so sick and weak they couldn't move, but if they didn't go on, they were stabbed to death and left to die. A lot of them had dysentery and they were sick and they couldn't go on. But the ones that made it, there was about 513 of them, and they were forced to go into a horrible, horrible prisoner of war camp. And they stayed there for quite a period of time and felt like they were forgotten, like nobody had even remembered who they were. But the U.S. Army was coming back for them. Their hope began to waver, but there was an incredible rescue. History tells us that 120 U.S. soldiers and about 200 or so Filipino guerrillas took on 8,000 of the Japanese army, and they went in and they set these prisoners of war free. And one guy who was on that team wrote, and he said that when he got there, there were prisoners of war, American soldiers, that were cowered in the corner. And they kept saying, "You know, we thought you forgot about us. We thought you forgot." And the guys that came said, "No, we haven't forgotten. We've come back for you. You're heroes." And the hope was breathed into them. They began to realize that hope comes. Even though they felt abandoned, hope was there to be found for them. That's exactly what the resurrection does. Maybe some of us today feel abandoned. Maybe we feel forgotten by God. Maybe we've drifted far from God, kind of doing our own thing. Listen, the resurrection brings us hope. It brings us the promise that Jesus is coming back for us, that he's coming to rescue us and take us to be with him. Floyd McClung, in his book Follow, wrote this. He said, "This audacious hope impacts all three tenses of our lives. Hope for our past, we're forgiven. Hope for our present, Jesus will always be with us no matter what. And hope for our future, the promise of new life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." All of this brings us hope. Church, listen, I want us to understand probably the most important aspect of hope today. The resurrection gives us hope because the resurrection is what gives us the ability to have eternal life. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we would not have the promise, like those prisoner of war, that someone was coming. We would not have the promise that Jesus was coming back. It's the resurrection that brings that. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15:17. "If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins." If there was no resurrection, our faith, we would have no substance to our faith. We would have no reason to believe that our sins could be forgiven and that we would go to heaven to be with Jesus. But the good news is Jesus raised from the dead, right? He came back to life. Jesus said in John 11, "I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, will live forever." brings us back to where we started. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, because of the cross, because of his love for us, even though we were unlovable, caused us to be born again, to have salvation in a living hope." We can have hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, for Jesus to come back for us. It's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. We can have hope because of the resurrection. Next week, we start a new series about hope. It's a series from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. We're calling it Rebuilding the Walls of Your Life. I hope you'll come and join us for the next 6 weeks as we talk about how hope can be rebuilt in you. But if you're here today and you need hope, maybe you feel like you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you've lost hope for your marriage or lost hope for your purpose of life or lost hope that your kids are ever going to be all right and come back. I want to challenge us today. The resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection gives us hope because the resurrection shows us that dead things can live again. That Jesus could come back to life. Our life can be rebuilt. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus. That God loves you so much. That he loves you so much that he came to earth, was born as we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus lived a perfect life, and that he died on a cross for you. What we talked about on Friday, that they took Jesus and whipped him and beat him and stripped the skin from his back and put a crown of thorns on his head and pulled out his beard and punched him in the face and nailed him to a cross. You've heard this story, and God took all the sins of the world, every sin from the past and the future, he laid it on Jesus, all of your sins, all of my sins, every wrong thought, every bad attitude, every immorality, everything, and laid it on Jesus. And Jesus willingly died and paid for our sins. And then Jesus rose again, as we talked about today, to prove to everybody he was God's son. That brings us hope. If you're here today and you've never experienced the hope of Jesus, can I just encourage you today? Maybe this is your first time hearing this, and maybe it doesn't make total sense, but it's starting to click, and others, you've heard it, but you know it's been a long time. If you're here and you've never come into a relationship with Jesus, there's no greater day than Easter 2018 for you to do it. And right where you're seated today, you don't have to go somewhere else. Many people right in those seats that you're seated in have invited Christ in, and in your own words and in your own way, you can just pray. And you can just say to God, "God, I believe in you, Jesus. I don't understand all this, but I believe that you're God's son. That's important. And I believe that you came to earth and died and rose again." And then just ask him in your own words, "Will you please come into my life and change me? I want you. I need you. Save me." And you can pray that right where you are. And if you do that, God will change you and make your life brand new. And there are yet others of you who have, years ago, you prayed a prayer like that. You believe that you truly are in a relationship with Jesus, but your life's all haywire. And the reality of it is, you don't even feel like it is, except when you come to church. When you're here today, you're like, "Oh my goodness, have I really drifted this far from God?" So the good news is, you don't have to give up hope because God's not giving up hope on you. He loves you. He's brought you here today to hear this message so that you could have your hope restored and renewed. And you can just come back to him today and tell him that, "You know, I've drifted from you, God. I've made my own choices, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want you to be the boss of my life." And there are yet others of us here today who are following Christ, but maybe because of pain in our life, some things that maybe no one else knows about, we're struggling with this hope. You can have hope today. Jesus lives, right? He's alive, and because he lives, as Todd led us in this song, we can face tomorrow. Would you pray with me? Hey, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a minute, I just want to pray for you. And so I wanted to ask you, I feel like if ever you ought to have somebody pray for you, it ought to be a church, it ought to be on Easter. And I realize my prayers are no more influential or important than yours, but I just wanted to pray for you today. If you're here and you're a Christ follower, but you've just struggled with hope lately. Maybe some tragedies come in your life. Maybe you've just gotten disillusioned. It's okay. You're here among friends today. But if you've got some needs in your life that I could pray for you, I would like to do it. It's just me looking, and I just want to cry out to the Lord for you. If you ask me to pray, if you say, Tim, hey, will you pray for me? I've got some things going on. I don't need to know what they are. God knows. But I need prayers today for hope. Will you pray for me? Will you just kind of wave at me? I want to pray for you today. God, you see these hands all over this room. You know what they represent, and you know the needs that are there. You know the hope that has been lost that needs to be restored. And I ask you in Jesus' name to restore it. We believe that hope comes from you, God. We believe that the resurrection breathes hope into us. And so I ask for you to breathe hope into the lives of those who are here, that they would feel it and sense it and experience it. It's in Jesus' name I pray it all. Amen.